You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Typically, Milwaukee Film offers LGBTQ plus cinema during the film festival season in their genre queer program. This year, they're offering a robust month-long program in honor of Pride, with more than a dozen films and virtual events. The films range from features, shorts, international films, and more that all highlight LGBTQ plus stories and film history. Pride Month is presented by Milwaukee Film's Genre Queer program, which is led by Aster Gilbert. They join Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to share more, and they begin by explaining how the expansion of genre queer programming developed.
So the genre queer program began in 2018 as part of the Milwaukee Film Festival, as you said, and I was brought in 2019 as the lead programmer for genre queer. And the plan was always to expand these offerings beyond the Milwaukee Film Festival through this initiative that began in 2020 called the Cultures and Communities Project at Milwaukee Film. And this is a bringing together of talent from all of our different departments to really focus on year-round programming that reflects and responds to and speaks to all of the different diverse communities in Milwaukee. But as you may be aware, the pandemic happened in 2020. So that kind of sidelined some of our attempts and strategies to really push out genre queer and push out all of these year-round programming. So in 2020, we did offer a bit of an expansion of LGBTQIA films during Pride. We had four virtual screenings through our SOFA Cinema. But this year, as you said, is the true first like robust rollout of a kind of a mini festival throughout the month of June. And we've been doing this all year long in 2021. So in February, we had a really incredible Black History Month programming. And then in March, we had a really incredible Women's History Month programming. So this is kind of in keeping with using these months as an opportunity to tap into our local audiences, the interest, the buzz that's in the air about these topics, and use it to curate and program some really incredible films, both new and old, and some really engaging events that both speak to these films and also speak to different issues and topics that the community is interested in.
Right. And how did you want the programming to reflect the themes and the legacy of Pride that you felt are important? There's so many options, of course.
Yeah, that's a great question because Pride means so many things to so many different people. I have my ideas about it that definitely shaped the programming. One of the things that I wanted to do to the best of our ability is to have a diverse selection of films that are both representative of different identities behind the camera as filmmakers, as well as in front of the camera as subjects. And so one of the things I'm really proud of is when you look at the slate of films that we have, it's many different gender and sexual identities, multiple different racial identities for the different directors. That was really important to me and to us at Milwaukee Film, is to really have this kind of spectrum of identities represented through our film selection. But one of the other things I really wanted to highlight in some of the classic films that we're showing do this is that the legacy of Pride really is a riot. That's kind of a phrase that you see a lot now. The first Pride was a riot, which is true. It was a rebellion, an uprising against police oppression, discrimination, unfair laws that criminalized queer people, gay people, trans people, sex workers, all these different types of people that started to push back. And so I really want to make sure that that legacy, that political legacy is there, because while we've come a long way since the 1960s and the 1970s, we're still not all free. There are many people that are still fighting for liberation. There are constantly, you know, threats against queer people's livelihoods, our rights. So the legacy of Pride is not just this like, hey, remember what it used to be about, but it still is this kind of struggle and push for rights and recognition, destigmatizing different sexual identities. But at the same time, Pride is a celebration and is a moment for people to step out and say, this is who I am, this is who we are, and kind of look at our history and our legacy. So I think the films that we have, they reflect this activist history, this political history, but also a lot of fun celebratory films. And so to me, that was really important that Pride reflected those different attitudes and ideas and legacies.
Definitely. And I want to touch upon some of the films in the programming. And how about we start with The New Black, which is directed by Yoruba Richin?
Yeah, The New Black it's an incredible documentary from 2013, and it specifically looked at the gay marriage debate in Maryland in 2013, marriage equality. But even though, 2013 is like a lifetime ago now, and marriage equality has passed, this film is still very urgent and very contemporary. And what Yoruba Richen does is she looks at the specific debates within the Black church, whether or not queer people should be allowed into these congregations, or whether it is, Christian or not, to accept these different identities, but looking at the different people within Black communities who are on different sides of this argument and different sides of these movements. And it's a really, I think, urgent and incredible documentary that shows the complexity of these religious and political ideas and how they take shape and how they become a culture war, basically. And also, we have two events related to The New Black. We have a really incredible, or what's going to be a very incredible Q&A with the director, Yoruba Richen. So the filmmaker will be here with our host, Matthew Lewis, who works at Public Allies Milwaukee. And then we also, oh, and the date for that is Tuesday, June 15th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then we also have a second event related to The New Black. It's a community conversation, same-sex relationships in the Black church, and that will be Tuesday, June 22nd at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And that Matthew Lewis is moderating that, and we have a panel, a selection of panelists that are Milwaukee-based Black folks of faith talking about these topics from the perspective of kind of the intersections of LGBTQ identity and Blackness and what that means for their faith.
I also love to see foreign films that are featured in this program because I think it's important to connect with how the queer community represents itself globally. And there are two films that offer some great perspectives, and one being a Vietnamese film, Song Lang. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Song Lang is a beautiful film that is about classical Vietnamese opera. And it's a gay love story, kind of a simple story at its heart. Opposites attract, basically. People from two different worlds, an opera performer, and a kind of a gangster enforcer for a loan shark who's collecting these outstanding loans on this opera company. And these two people meet and they develop a relationship, they fall in love. It really has this like sumptuous, gorgeous photography. It reminds me a lot of the films of Wong Kar-wai, if anyone's familiar with that, the Hong Kong filmmaker. But it's very kind of sweeping and passionate. It's a period piece. So for people that love really just kind of beautiful, gorgeous films about aching, yearning love stories, that is 100% a film that you're going to enjoy.
And a big part of Pride, as you said before, is of course history, right? And the best way to connect to that is through film, in my opinion. So I want you to touch upon and explain the importance of why you selected featuring Arthur J. Bresson Jr.'s restored films, Forbidden Letters and Passing Strangers.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, and for those who do, Arthur J. Bresson Jr. is a pioneer of gay cinema. One of his films, one that we're not showing Buddies, was the first American film to tackle the subject of AIDS. And in his films, Forbidden Letters and Passing Strangers are some of the very first films to even feature footage of pride parades from 1970s. So in gay cinematic history and lesbian cinematic history, the categories of mainstream cinema kind of fall apart, right? We have in one category, like adult films or pornography, and experimental films are over here as these two separate categories. But in the history of gay cinema, especially in the 60s and 70s, those things are inseparable. So what Arthur J. Bresson did was pioneer an American independent cinema that's also an adult kind of hardcore cinema. So viewer beware, there is some explicit hardcore sex in this film, in these films. But also this kind of experimental attitude that combines these different genres and elements to really reflect the queer experience and what it means to navigate the world as a queer person and see the world as a queer person, where sexuality is a major part of that, but also your political activism is too, and your mundane daily life, which isn't like sexy or activist, is also a part of this world. And so Bresson has been this major figure for queer people for decades, but his films have been very hard to find and in very rough shape. And so the Arthur J. Bresson Project, as well as the American Genre Film Archive, have restored these films in these beautiful, pristine transfers. And we're very lucky to have both of them on display. And there's also going to be a panel in the third or fourth week of June. We're still hammering out the date. That's going to have several experts who were part of these restorations, as well as gay film historians and filmmakers, Evan Purcell of the Ask Anybody podcast, along with his co-host Tyler Thomas and Jenny Olson, who is a queer filmmaker. They made the film The Royal Road and also participated in that restoration, are going to have this roundtable discussion explaining much more eloquently and more in depth than I can do here about the legacy of Arthur J. Bresson and his importance for queer cinema.
So in this 2021 Pride programming, and in a second summer of most Pride celebrations either being canceled, postponed, or, you know, people are finding their own ways to celebrate, how do you hope audiences connect with these films and feel a different sense of participating in Pride Month through this?
I'm really hoping that our audiences will find something there for everyone. You know, not all these films are going to be everyone's cup of tea, but what I really hope that these films can do during this kind of pandemic Pride where we're kind of half back to normal, but still a little bit, you know, still in our homes, is that they can see these images and legacies and histories of their identities, their traditions, that they may not otherwise be exposed to. Now, staying at home and watching more movies for, you know, several more months is maybe not everyone's ideal Pride, right? You know, a lot of people, we want to get back to the clubs, we want to go to the parades, we want to do all of these things. But in lieu of that, I think that these films are really invigorating. They're really exciting. They really reflect a lot of what Pride has been for years. So while it's not the same as being able to do the, like going out and doing all this stuff, I think these are really incredible, exciting and thrilling films, many of which are very hard to see. So I think that's a bit of a treat. So if you're looking to stay in, have a date night, have some popcorn with your partner and watch something really warm and heartwarming, we have those films like Breaking Fast, Dramarama. They're cute, they're fun. But if you're looking to be challenged and learn about topics that you might not be familiar with, like, you know, Queer Japan or The New Black, these films are going to do that kind of educational work and also excite you and make you want to be a part of these things. So if you can't go out for Pride, you can stay in and still have a wonderful time.
Aster Gilbert is the genre queer programmer for Milwaukee Film. She joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about Pride Month programming. It's available to stream all month, and you can find more information about it at wuwm.com.